We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast. Today is Wednesday, October 28th. Jeff Erickson here with Bob Harris from Football Diehards, FSWA Hall of Famer Bob Harris. Bob, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Jeff. Always great to hear from you, man.
Yeah, and you are a busy, busy man. Catch you on Sirius XM with Michael Fabiano on Fantasy Dirt, and as well as the Diehard Show with Mike Dempsey. You guys are awesome. Do great stuff there.
Appreciate it.
I'm thankful to have you on. I know you're doing a couple podcasts today as well. Crazy week this week. You know, especially trying to rank running backs. We always complain about it, but I don't think I've seen as much day-to-day chaos with as many elite running backs as we have this week.
Yeah, this has been an interesting one, and throw in the return of the top running back, and it gets even more interesting. Yeah, or potential return. Let me be careful there.
Yeah, let's start there with Christian McCaffrey. I mean, there's been some pump fakes this week. A couple weeks ago they were saying, well, probably after the short week, and then Matt Rhule saying, we haven't ruled him out this week. Had the red jersey on, no contact jersey. Then took it off and had a regular
practice. Yokey doke.
What do you make out of this?
From all indications, he's pushing to play, as you would expect, right? And so we'll see. I mean, practice is going to determine it. The short week seems to me to make this a little bit difficult for them. Mike Davis's play, last week notwithstanding, I mean, he had averaged 100 scrimmage yards per game. He was doing quite well. They were winning games. So I'm not sure I see a huge need to push McCaffrey back if he's not ready. But I will say, for the most part, I think when Matt Rhule says, hey, we're going to let the medical people decide, I think that's true. I also think they haven't decided. And I think that McCaffrey is going to push like hell to play. And that's, all things that you would expect. And it may not be something we know. Look, even if he's active, Jeff, here's the problem for me with guys coming back is, do I really trust the workload, or do I trust what they're going to do? And you and I have been doing this long enough to know it's totally a mixed bag. I mean, you get guys that'll come off these things and just come out great guns. You'll get other guys where they ease them back in. I know Matt Rhule said that, he intended to continue using Davis. I don't necessarily believe that, because why? Christian McCaffrey is why. Right. So I think this week is going to be tricky. And I feel like if you have McCaffrey and he's active, you're playing him.
Of course. Of course. But, what I worry about is like he's active, but he was only available in an emergency, and they just don't tell us the Kyle Shanahan sort of thing there. But
and we saw it with Leonard Fournette a couple weeks ago against Chicago as well. Same, Same situation. So, yeah, that is on one end of the range of possible outcomes, the bad end. And the good end is he comes back and he lights it right up. So hopefully we get some good intel from the practice field today, Wednesday. I mean, that's going to be critical on a Thursday game. We'll get his injury designation. My guess is it'll be questionable regardless, unless they do us the kind favor of just ruling him out. And,
right.
And, you know, we've seen a lot of that this year, too, right? More than we normally do, of just players getting ruled out early and just getting it taken care of and having the decisions made for us.
Yeah, I was thankful that the Packers with Aaron Jones officially ruled him out and didn't do one of those active but only in an emergency thing, because
yes.
No, against the Texans, we would have all had him active.
Absolutely. I mean, it'd be hard not to. And, you know, I know we'll get to him too, but, you know, LaFleur kind of down, you know, maybe making it sound a little dicey again this week. And we've seen the Packers be really cautious with guys in these cases. See Davante Adams,
right.
Even though he felt like he was ready to return sooner than they let him, you know, sometimes it works out for the best.
It does. It does. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, I kind of like, I know they've said that Davis will be involved, but I really get a Le'Veon D'Angelo Williams vibe from this situation in Carolina.
Yep.
As good as Davis was, you know, he's no McCaffrey. And
no, there's a reason McCaffrey's making $16 million a year.
Yep.
You know, in a league that doesn't pay up for running backs, they're paying up for this guy because of that consistent snap to snap production they've gotten. And fantasy owners should expect that too. I just hope that he gets back fully healthy before they ask him to do it.
Yeah. Really, another tough one is a player that he himself isn't hurt, although injuries around his team have really caused a problem, and that's Zeke. You know,
yeah.
12 for 45, just two targets against the football team last week. That offensive line has imploded. We don't know who their quarterback's going to be this week against the Eagles, too. I'm at a loss with him, too. I have him at 6 this week, and he could be 2, he could be 20. You know, I really don't know.
Right. Again, you're going to continue playing him as, you know, as your running back one, whatever you have, and maybe someone outperforms him or outproduces him. You're playing him what you drafted him to be and hope he gets up. It sounds like Zach Martin could be back this week. That still leaves them crazy thin up front. I think Joe Looney maybe has a chance too, I saw. But either way, I mean, this offensive line is a shell of its former self. Clearly, Dak Prescott is a very good player who made things tick and made that offense work, especially with as bad as that defense has been. You know, having that quarterback who can propel an offense to the kind of scoring heights that Dak had them at was great. We don't know, like you mentioned, if it will be Andy Dalton or Ben DiNucci. And even if it's Andy Dalton, we don't know which Andy Dalton it is. Is it the red rifle or the redheaded stepchild? It could be either one any given weekend or any given snap. So it's a big issue. And I think it hurts the wide receivers there as well. I think one thing that I think we were seeing maybe a little bit of it is that Dalton was willing to throw to Zeke. And we've seen Zeke more pretty involved in the passing attack. I think that's what you're hoping for. You know, if as a Zeke manager, that he continues to get that involvement, at least gives you a solid floor with the receiving totals in PPR leagues.
Right. And I don't know how much I'm buying into this, even though I am a card carrying Bengals fan, one of three on the West Coast out here. but, you know, the whole national game, primetime Dalton thing versus regular Dalton thing, I think that's coincidence, not causation, but it's hard to ignore the history there too, though.
Look, I've been embarrassed by that. You know, like, in fact, you know, talking on a pregame show before a Thursday night game and downplaying the whole notion only to have him throw 4 touchdowns to AJ Green, I think, that night. So you don't know which guy you're getting. It's just totally true.
Right. So we'll see about that as he emerges from the concussion protocol.
I think it takes the receiving core, though, you know, whether he's there or not. I mean, it kind of makes it a little easier. You're not really tempted to play Gallup anymore. The possibilities there, you know, look really appealing as you look at names other than Gallup. And Lamb turns into a flex play, kind of a swing for the fence play, and you're hoping he gets some big plays on his own. And Cooper, you're just hoping for that continuing workload, and I think you're kind of getting it. But man, we've all got to reset our expectations there, or we all should have once Dak was gone.
Yeah, absolutely. I have a NFFC primetime team that's really competitive in the overall points, and last week was an utter disaster. OBJ gone for the year on his first offensive play of the game. CeeDee Lamb, nothing last week, and DK Metcalf, who's, you know, been my stud.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not worried about Metcalf at all. I think this was just a cornerback matchup thing. That Lockett was just destroying Kirkpatrick, and they just, hey, let's keep going to it. Why would you stop? I get it.
Yep.
But you know, it's aggravating when that happens. You're like, oh, just throw it on once, and then you lose that touchdown in overtime. It's therapy right now. Sorry.
I understand completely. If only we got points for extra effort tackles from behind. That
exactly.
Would be great.
Yeah. Usain Bolt impersonations, that's worth 20 points right there. But
Metcalf is a freak. What a physical specimen, man.
Okay, let's go back to more frustration and uncertainty, because that's our vibe right now. Tampa Bay. Leonard Fournette versus Rojo this week.
So I talked to Rick Stroud from Tampa Bay Times last night, and he's convinced that it's Rojo until it's not, right? I mean, that's what we're all facing. But I've talked to him consistently over the course of time since dating back to the summer before Fournette's arrival, and that was pretty much his narrative then. He's sticking with it. He says, you know, Fournette's going to get in. You know, he's clearly taken over that third down role from LeSean McCoy. And also, I mean, there are going to be times where he gets a series or whatever and makes something of it and going to have a reasonably good game. But I'm kind of buying the contention that he makes that Ronald Jones is the guy that they put their faith in all along. The guy that gets the first shot at getting the hot hand, you know, when you're in a hot hand situation is usually, you know, I mean, obviously logic dictates that's the one you go with if you have both of them, let's say. And if you only have one of them, I think you could probably play both of them any given week and have some reasonable hopes for solid production.
Yeah. And given that so many other teams don't have that situation, I'll take the two Bucks backs over the Rams backs or the Bills backs.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. Totally on the Rams, too. And you know, I mean, we get to the point where we've invested in players. I don't know about you, but, you know, you get that tendency to hang on because, you know, I've already kept them this long. You know, this is the case with Cam Akers. I'd say J.K. Dobbins in the same boat. I'm saying, you know, you could take that all the way to like, man, I drafted Alshon Jeffrey dirt cheap, right? I want to hang on and get something out of him. And there just comes a point where you have to realize you need to win now. And whatever Cam Akers or J.K. Dobbins is going to turn into, your visions of them being league winners is far enough out that if you need to win now, you should probably be willing to make those changes.
Right. And there's real consequences to hanging on to those guys or for that matter, injured guys. Like I have a league with Nick Chubb, and I had a bunch of other injuries and buys in last week. And it forces you to make hard calls. And sometimes those hard calls are wrong. I went Newton over Burrow, and I had to cut Burrow just to get an active roster, a full active roster for the week. And boy, that one looked pretty smart. You know, blew up in my face spectacular, and now I'm going to be like trying to boot and rally and go after him again.
Right. You know, that one of the joys of fantasy football is the ass kicking we all get to give ourselves on Monday. You know, the decisions you made, but you know, you can, you know, often very defensible in the moment and much harder to defend in hindsight. Joe Burrow, though, I mean, all these rookie quarterbacks, I mean, for the same reason, you know, there's no question why Miami's going with Tua Tagovailoa, right? I mean, it's Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert.
Right.
I mean, you know, hey, we invested in our guy. We want some of this, too. And I'm not sure, you know, whether Brian Flores, you know, was maybe the guy making that ultimate decision. He's going with it. Look, and I love what Brian Flores is doing in Miami. I like the direction, the long term plan this organization has in place, but thinking they weren't getting some pressure after, you know, people upstairs are watching those other guys make hay. And what's the path to success in the NFL right now, Jeff? You know, at least championship success is a quarterback on his rookie contract.
Yeah, that's right.
With tons of talent around him and paying the price there and not a quarterback.
Right. And you know, got to remember, too, that they had a later bye week that got changed on them.
Yep.
And I think the plan all along was the bye week. And the fact that they had won, you know, three out of four in their last two. I mean, that and, you know, and a stomping of the Niners in San Francisco. I think that was the one that kind of changed the narrative on the Dolphins. I think, you know, beating the Jets, whatever, you know, you didn't convert a third down until the fourth quarter. Really wasn't that good of a game. But it was the Niners game before is the one that made that seem shocking. But this is a team that had a plan, or at least the front office had a plan. And they were going to go with it. They may not have communicated that very well. I think that was the thing that I was shocked at, is seeing Fitzpatrick's reaction and saying, you know, I was floored by this, heartbroken, all that. You don't want to see that. I mean, you want to see, you know, and not that he's wrong for saying that, but you're hoping like, oh, this was a comp, you know, an organization that communicated their goals, and this didn't come as a shocker.
Right. And, you know, like in the moment, understand his disappointment. Also, you know, clearly his statements prior to that, he knew what the plan was ultimately, whether he was aware of the timing or the timing caught him off guard. So I'm sure, you know, as he gets a little time to cool off, he'll be fine with it. But all the same, I mean, that's part of it, man. Setting expectations for players and it is a big thing. And the success they were having, look, this team has been all along, you know, I think been focused on winning, whether, you know, they ended up getting Tua, and that's great, you know, but I don't think they tanked for Tua, right? I mean, I think that, you know, I think they played hard, and that's been kind of one of the hallmarks under Brian Flores is, right. he's getting the most out of the team. And it's clearly getting better. I'm excited to see what Tua can do, especially based on what we've seen from Herbert and Burrow.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, front offices and owners tank, players and coaches, they right. do the best they can. I think that's always yep. the lesson. And a team that can look special bad, as the Dolphins really truly did last year. I mean, those first seven games, they were historically bad. Yeah, and the Jets are right there right now, too, but they may not always be that way.
Yeah, well, the Jets may be that way the rest of this year, though.
Yeah, well, you know, as long as Gaze is still there, I think that there's a difference. It's hard not to pile on at this point.
It really is. I mean, for a guy who's, you know, whose great success came with Peyton Manning, you know, it's fair to question how much of that was Gaze and how much of it was Manning. But it's also fair to say that when he sits down with people who make decisions at the, you know, at that level, he impresses them somehow, right? And I've heard that, you know, from multiple reports, just saying, look, man, when he sits down, when he interviews, he's impressive. He has a plan. He's got everything together. He knows what he's doing. It just doesn't seem to come to fruition on the field. And from our perspective, you know, as fantasy managers, we hate what he does to the vast majority of players, or let's say all of them who aren't slot receivers, I think is a fair say, right?
Right. I think that's right. And he might have been getting a little validation over Kenyon Drake's struggles this year, too, perhaps. He says, see, it's not just me.
The chase is on.
Yeah, it certainly is. And, you know, we have the bye week this week, which may allow you to go ahead and acquire him. You know, you could trade for him this week to alleviate somebody else's bye week woes, and then you got yourself a starter the rest of the year.
Yeah, it's, you know, look, everyone, you know, I don't know about you, but I've been getting tons of questions the last 2 weeks or more, even, sure. You know, should I play Edmonds? And, you know, it's hard to advocate playing a guy who has such a narrow band of, you know, of opportunity. Now that he gets the opportunities, it's very easy to promote him. He's been fantastic. I mean, we all know what he is. And you know, I'm sure you handle this similarly, though. You know, you get people asking questions about these guys. And look, it's fine to play your hunches. If your hunch is that Chase Edmonds is going to score a touchdown on his fewer than 10 touches, great, play him. I have no problem with that. But logically, if you have other players getting more opportunities, I'd rather play them. Now that he has the opportunities, we've seen the run after catch. We've seen the playmaking ability. Get him the hell in there.
Yeah, I do worry a little bit that he might have a little bit of Amos Zeroway, Kevin Barlow disease, where he's the finisher, comes in after the starter has softened everybody up. And he's the fresh guy, kind of like Jamichael Hasty is now for the Niners. Yeah, you can't just look at YPA. You have to look at a lot of other things there, too.
Yeah, when they're playing, what part of the game, what the situations are. So there's a lot going on. I thought it was interesting, you know, the Shanahan sitting McKinnon last week that we none of us saw coming. But I thought more interesting, lost in all that, the anger at McKinnon was, when did Jeff Wilson turn into the second coming of Raheem Mostert? Wait, when did Raheem Mostert turn into Raheem Mostert? I mean, these guys are coming out of the woodwork and showing all kinds of speed and ability and, you know, just ideal fits for the offense. So kudos to Shanahan for finding and identifying these players, journeymen for the most part, who can come in and dominate. Also, not kudos to him for destroying our fantasy fortunes with this uncanny ability he has.
Well, yeah, and that's just the thing, too. It's like you can't – they're too good to ignore, but – they destroy you too. It's similar to the Pats in their heyday, you know, where it was a different guy every single week. Yeah, it's
the Gordian knot of back. We'll never untie it.
Yeah, and you know, it's really, you know, you really have to be in a pinch to take one of those guys. Speaking of hunches, I kind of have a J.K. Dobbins hunch this week.
It's possible
coming off the bye. Ingram didn't practice today. You know, he's still got that ankle. The only thing is, I hate the matchup. You know, I hate the matchup against the Steelers.
Yeah, I do too. But, you know, look, and part of this is, you know, I tried not to get overly excited based on the investments I made in August, right? And the expectations I had when I made those investments that, you know, look, we're all doing the same thing. We're trying to identify potential league winners, right? And we all know they're going to happen down the stretch. There are going to be players who emerge who you invested next to nothing in, or maybe you picked up as free agents. And don't overlook the possibility that somebody who drafted Dobbins has long ago bailed on him and he's sitting there on your waiver wire. So, right. You know, it's something you need to look for. But, you know, these are the kind of players. Look, the talent is there. You know, the opportunity is the only thing missing. And in no position is that more prevalent than running back, where, you know, that, I mean, look, man, we could go back to, you know, I mean, I could run down the litany of guys who have come out of nowhere to win you fantasy titles, you know, including very recently how CJ Anderson rolled off his couch.
Yep, that's right.
And when you have fantasy title, right? So, and that's the position it could happen. So when you see a guy with that level of talent and the team's level of investment in him, it's not, you know, it's not crazy to have those similar hopes, right, that he can come out of nowhere. And I do think, you know, if something were to happen, but I know Jameson Hensley from ESPN, you know, was asked specifically last week, you know, do you think, you know, is there one guy you can count on? You know, down the stretch for this team. And he said, you know, even if Ingram's hurt, he wouldn't want to have to lean on Dobbins because Gus Edwards averages 5 yards a carry.
Yep. So always has.
Always has, right?
3 years
so
running.
He's good. And he's a really good fit. And that was something we heard last year. You know, why do they keep playing? Because he really works well in this offense and what they want to do with Lamar Jackson. So he's going to be part of the mix too. So for me, it's hard to bank on Dobbins, but the talent is undeniable. I mean, we saw it, you know, anyone who saw him play at Ohio State knows it.
That's right.
Support for this podcast comes from U.S. Bank. If you're looking for a credit card that fits your lifestyle, look no further. U.S. Bank has credit cards that make every day rewarding, no matter what you're into. Feeling hungry? Check out the U.S. Bank Altitude Go Visa Signature Card. Earn 4x points on takeout, food delivery, and dining. And get 2x points at gas stations, grocery stores, and on streaming. That'll keep your wallet and your mouth full. Big spender? The U.S. Bank Visa Platinum Card has a low intro APR for large purchases or balance transfers. And you call the shots with the U.S. Bank Cash Plus Visa Signature Card. Choose two categories each quarter. Earn 5% back on your first $2,000 of eligible purchases from those categories. So don't just get a credit card, get the right card to make every day more rewarding. Cashback, merchandise, travel rewards, and low intro APRs are waiting. Learn more at usbank.com/creditcard. The creditor and issuer of these cards is U.S. Bank National Association, pursuant to a license from Visa USA, Inc., and the cards are available to United States residents only. Some restrictions may apply. Member FDIC.
How about Kansas City? What sort of split are you seeing between Edwards-Helaire and Lev Bell this week?
To try to, you know, so the secret to happiness is management expectation, right? If you don't have any, you're hardly ever disappointed. So I'm going to start out at 60-40, you know, for Edwards-Helaire. And, you know, if it ended up being 60-40 for Bell, I wouldn't be shocked. If it was 70-30 the other way or either way in the end, it wouldn't shock me. And if there were games where one player was totally dominant, you know, I mean, that's the nature of running backs, you know, the hot hand situation. I think that, you know, we've kind of been having a lot of foreshadowing. The day they signed Bell, you know, if you remember Jay Glazer, you know, in the pregame show, that I think they signed him on that Thursday. He was talking about, you know, Andy Reid told me that, you know, they wanted to keep their little guy from getting the pounding, right? And the little guy being Edwards-Helaire. Then the first day Bell shows up for practice, Reid's first comment, he's big. Right. And then a couple of days later, Eric Bieniemy talking thunder and lightning, you know, we've got so, you know, they're foreshadowing what they envision, whether it comes to fruition or not. I think it will. I mean, I tend to agree with everything they said. And if you're an Edwards-Helaire investor and you're going, damn it, I'm going to lose out on all those touchdowns. Well, you already weren't getting them. So, you know, you're getting by on, you know, total yards from scrimmage basically with him. And that's why Le'Veon Bell's there. He just hasn't been able to move the pile in short yardage or goal line situations. So, you know, Bell's going to get that. And we all know Le'Veon Bell, if he's not, you know, if he's used properly. I mean, I don't think this is a LeSean McCoy showing up last year pretty much washed up or, you know, 70% washed up. You know, this is a Le'Veon Bell who can probably still play a little bit. And in this offense, we know what running backs can do who just show up. So, I mean, I'm going to be optimistic, but maybe think back to when we were drafting Edwards-Helaire and Damian Williams. You know, it might be that's those same similar levels. You had a third round guy and like a sixth round guy.
Yeah.
And maybe that's how it winds up here. And it's pretty even money that who ends up being the third round guy and who ends up being the sixth round guy. I mean, if it went either way, I wouldn't be shocked. I'm still counting on Edwards-Helaire, you know, to be the lead. And Bell playing a secondary role, but we all know that can change at a moment's notice.
Right. Yeah, I think that's right. And week one might have been the foreshadowing of this move, you know, where Edwards-Helaire got all those opportunities in the red zone and didn't cash them.
Stuffed.
Yeah. So, and, you know, some of that could be the offensive line's blocking better now, too.
True.
You know, that's also, you know, we always think about, you know, games as a, you know, running game. Right. It's not just the back, it's the system.
We think of a lot of things too, Jeff, as static. Like the thing we saw first is the thing we think is permanent, right? Like we saw Rob Gronkowski in Tampa come out and look like an old shell of himself week one. And now here we are, it's week seven. And oh, look, he's in better shape. He's acclimated to the hitting. He's worked his way into the offense. These things are, you know, evolutions throughout the season for all these players. That's just one example. But, you know, the same can be said for Edwards-Helaire. I mean, what he was week one isn't what he necessarily is week seven.
Yeah, it's so true. I'm glad you made that point. You know, sometimes we look at it like, oh, the Bengals gave up three passing touchdowns to tight ends last week. I made that point in my rankings this week when I was talking about Jonnu Smith. But they may try to adjust. They may adjust their schemes accordingly. I mean, they traded away Carlos Dunlap today. And that's nothing to do with the tight ends, but it's just change is constant.
Right. It's not wrong of us to want to target those and aggressively target those matchups we see based on what we saw the week before. But we do that knowing the NFL is as week to week a game as there is out there.
Yep.
And maybe this year more than ever, the volatility, you know, is to be expected. I'm still waiting for one side to catch up with the other. I'm not sure which side's even ahead. I'm not sure they haven't caught up, but it just seems like any given week we get some real craziness and some of these teams are still playing catch up. I'm looking at you, Cowboys defense.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, and, you know, you hear the natives rumbling there with before the football team game, and you're just like, oh, this is a mess. And then they showed up as a mess this particular
game.
You know, did not help.
Right, so it's not by any means a stretch. It's not like nothing is guaranteed. But if you're sitting there this week and you're thinking, wow, I want to go up against that. I want to get as many guys in against that Cowboys defense as possible. It's not a bad strategy, right? It does, you know, that doesn't guarantee anything, but that's the good approach. And it's, you know, things evolve, things change. But attacking those things that we've seen is not wrong either. You know, you're hoping to catch it under the right circumstances.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right about that. One thing that we're dealing with a lot more is fewer defined running back situations. That there's more and more committees. And it's one of those things where it serves teams well, but it makes it a nightmare for us.
It does. Yeah. It makes us, it at least forces us to adjust expectations. And maybe that's one of the hardest things. Again, the expectation management will keep you happy, but it won't make up the draft value or the draft capital you invested. Right. There's nothing that's going to do that. And I'm kind of with you. I think it's just the way we're going to have to deal with it. You look at Denver. I mean, Philip Lindsay's not going away. It doesn't matter how much they spent on Melvin Gordon, and probably we should have known this because the last 2 years told us this, that Philip Lindsay can play. And, you know, in these situations, expecting one guy to have a lead role is entirely, you know, appropriate, and expecting Gordon, let's say in Denver, to have the lead role, but expecting him to keep that whole job to himself, that's a reach, right? And, you know, man, we'll see going forward. You know, there are ones that are even more going to be trickier. You know, I'm heavily invested in Joshua Kelly. You know, we've seen a mixed bag from him and Justin Jackson, right? I would expect that to be the case going forward, the whole mixed bags thing. And it's going to make either of them hard to play. Look, anyone can emerge at any time. I do like Kelly's skill set. I liked it coming in. I thought he looked horrible against the Saints. in part because Jackson looked so good, but I think also in part he'd had those fumbles leading up to that game. He looked like he was playing really cautious, right?
Right.
Against the Saints. Like maybe that was his focus, was securing the ball more than it was playing, you know, aggressively and freely. And so I thought he looked a little better against the Jags, but who doesn't? So
yeah. Good point.
You know,
good point. And now they're talking big changes coming out of the bye. We'll see what that means, but
yeah, I'm not sure how big a changes you can make there.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'll listen to your co-host Mike Dempsey on that one there. He's all things Jacksonville to me.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, James Robinson won't be one of the changes.
No, no, he looked phenomenal against the Chargers.
Very impressed.
My goodness.
Very impressed.
You know, and Ozigbo gets set back with the hammy, you know, and they're not going to see Armstead at all this year. Yeah, there's no changes there. You know, the big disappointment for Jacksonville's got to be Chark. You know, just a lot of that's health related.
Yeah, passing attack in general.
Yeah, yeah. And
I mean, I still think he's probably their best player on their team, but, you know, playing beat up has been a big issue. I like, you know, I'm optimistic. My dynasty shares of Chenault are smiling, but I mean, you know, week to week, I don't know how you play anyone on that offense, you know, not named Robinson right now with, you know, with abandon. I mean, you're playing Chark still and hoping, and you see it when he, you know, when he looks like he's kind of healthy, he is still can be a dominant player, but also his quarterback's not that great. And I don't think, you know, if they're talking big changes and one of them is the change to Mike Glennon, we've seen this change before. It doesn't often work out well, right?
No.
That's why Mike Glennon's been around the block as many times as he can, and he's just not that good. So not enthusiastic about this.
So funny how and you're talking about how the NFL is a week-to-week league, and it shows Jacksonville's a perfect example of that, how the narrative changed. You know, they're doormat in week one, everyone taking the Colts in survivor pool.
Yep.
Then they beat the Colts. Then they give Tennessee a run for their life, the 33-30 game in week two. They look like a really high-functioning offense. Like, this is a fun team. And then they laid a big egg on Thursday night against the Dolphins. Like, oh, okay, same old Jacksonville again. It's like, it's so funny how it kind of pivots so quickly. And it's just a couple players that can change that narrative.
And I appreciate you bringing up my survival pool failure from earlier this year.
I'm right there with you, Bob. It's been a horrible survivor. I'm generally pretty good at them. I'm in a double elimination pool. I had three different entries. I'm done. All of them. It's like week six and I'm done. Like, what's going on here? And I'm usually, you know, the Chiefs knocked me out, losing to the Raiders on one of them. Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, we do a confidence pool on our NFL radio show every Saturday night. And I think I've hit every single week. My most confident win has been the win, which would be my survival pool pick, except that one.
Yeah.
So started off on the wrong foot.
It does. And, you know, that's aggravating. You know, Colts are one of those teams where they look really good at times, but I'm always like kind of unconvinced, especially on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, Rivers took apart Cincinnati in the final three quarters of that game, and it's, you know, it helped that William Jackson got concussed, and they haven't had any Trey Waynes all year. But I just don't trust Rivers, and I don't trust. I don't think Hilton has ever been, you know, the same guy he's been in previous years. He had that training camp hammy, and I don't think he's been the same since then.
I think Jonathan Taylor though is coming on. You know, last four games, it's gotten a lot better. I think he's, you know, I think that four game average is what, 4.5 yards a carry. So, and also, you know, using a little bit as a receiving component as well. Maybe that offensive, look, you know, the appeal of Taylor was obvious. This is a run heavy offense with a great offensive line. It's taken it some time to get together. There's no doubt about it. But I do think he's one of those guys that down the stretch, he's really going to start paying the dividends down the stretch. Because I mean, look, Jordan Wilkins isn't doing anything and Naheem Himes is doing damn little. Can't rely on the downfield pass attack, although it sounds like Michael Pittman might get back. You know, I don't know if that, you know, really changes that dynamic all that much. I think the guy to watch in the passing attack is Trey Burton. Who the people who cover the team daily, Mike Chappell, you know, started talking about it about a week before he came back, saying, man, that's the guy to watch. I said, you know, I've heard this before. When he went to Chicago, he was the guy to watch. And he said, nope, trust me on this one. And, you know, I mean, look, Phillip Rivers' tendency to look for tight ends aside, Frank Reich has, you know, been the past, you know, the tight end heaviest, you know, throwing offenses dating back to his time in Philadelphia. So, there's something to build on there. Also, they have three of those guys. And so that makes it a little bit of an issue as well. But I do think Burton is kind of a player on the rise. He's kind of a guy I'd be targeting on waiver wires just to have him on my roster, even if you don't want to force him in. But the downfield weapons, you know, it's hard to trust any of them. And the one you mentioned, Hilton, I have zero trust in at all.
Yeah. And it's funny you mentioned Burton. It folded in nicely with Mo Alie-Cox's knee injury. In fact,
yep.
He didn't practice today, so that still might be a thing ongoing. you know, plus, you know, this is an interesting matchup against the Lions. It's, you know, yeah. Taylor versus Swift. I mean, they're drafted pretty close to each other. I think they're both ascendant. I think both guys are guys you're going to want the rest of the way.
Yeah, I think so. I think Swift, you know, I was a little bit, I'm a little bit skeptical about anything having to do with Detroit runners, sure. You know, rushing attack in general. But I do think that he has kind of established that. But we'll see how much Peterson we continue to get. I'm thinking the less we get, the better. And I think something we've seen with Peterson over the course of the last couple of years is, you know, he does good in stretches of one game at a time. And then he needs to disappear for a week or two and get back on track. So the usage is going to be key for Swift, but clearly the playmaking ability and his receiving ability should set him apart there. And I hope that's the case down the stretch. It should be. They just got to be in the game.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, just hopefully, you know, it's funny. Kerryon Johnson was this highly drafted running back, got 14 snaps, not a carry or a target. He is now a blitz pickup guy. He's devolved into that now, but
yep.
It's, yeah, I'd like to see more Swift and less Peterson, but I get it. I get it. Peterson, when he's actually running the ball, he's typically okay. It's just he doesn't do anything else. Doesn't block, doesn't right. catch passes.
Nope.
So it kind of telegraphs what you're going to do, but that's kind of a problem.
I think, honestly, I think that's the big problem for them, right? Or anybody who's running him, you know exactly what's going to happen when he's on the field. Right. And with Swift, at least you have that, you know, wow, we could go any direction. And man, the playmaking ability, and you know, for not the biggest guy, he has a really nice physical style of running, man. I like what I've seen.
Yeah, I do too. News out of Cincinnati, Joe Mixon didn't practice today. He's dealing with that foot injury. I'd be wary of him again this week.
The reporting over the weekend too, Jeff, was that, you know, it was probably going to be another week for him. So,
yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, give me certainty. That's all I want right now at this point.
Right. They got some offensive line issues there as well. So, just more passing. I'm fine with that. Said the my Joe Burrow investments.
Yes. And Tyler Boyd investments and even T Higgins investments. T Higgins. Boy. Looking pretty good. What I like is what he's doing after the catch a lot. He's making guys miss or breaking tackles. It's not necessarily burnout, you know, breakaway speed necessarily, but he's getting a lot of yards after contact.
And obviously, look, I think the three guys, I mean, you can include AJ Green in there and you just have to realize there are going to be ups and downs, right? But right. the volume of that passing attack right now, especially as long as Mixon is out, is, and they're behind, and because they're always behind. I mean, that's the key there. The volume will float all those boats. And I mean, you know, for me, it's obviously Boyd, Higgins and Green right now, but any given week Green could rise up. I mean, we've seen the target shares go up and down for him. When they're up, they're pretty damn good. And he's starting to play a little better.
Yes, he
is. You know, I think when we hit the end of the season, if it continues at this rate, that sixth round price tag you're paying for him would have been probably about right.
Yeah. You see, the thing about Green is he's had to learn to be a different receiver. He always used to be able to separate a lot easier, and he doesn't have that anymore. And I think we just have to realize that. So you're going to see fewer yards after the target. You're not going to see the big, you know, fly patterns and all that used to connect a lot. That's just not him anymore.
Yeah, I agree.
So, you're right. And then on the defensive side of things, it is a mess. They don't have that many playmakers on the field. I think this is a big transition year. They invested a lot in their defense, and all their investments got hurt.
Yep. You know,
DJ Reader's out for the season. And
they spent a ton of money.
And that's a lot of money. Trey Waynes hasn't played a down yet. That hurts. Mackenzie Alexander's missed time, too, so that hurts your slot coverage. And now Jackson's out. And
this is all great news for us non-Bengals fans who just want to see Joe Burrow hurling the ball.
Yeah. And the opponent against him, Tannehill's going to eat this week. He and AJ Brown, I love them this week. So a couple other things I want to talk about. First of all, one of the things I know that you play in a metric ton of leagues.
And I do.
Every time, like in draft season, I've got three drafts today. I've got two drafts. I know some of those are best ball, but how many leagues do you actually have that you're managing in season?
It's close to 30. and so this is going to be the year that I realize that you can't do that because, you know, the COVID issues have added a layer of difficulty of having to recheck, you know. In past years, look, I'm fine with, you know, going in, doing my rosters once, making my waiver claims, going back in and resetting those lineups, etc. But when I have to go through and make multiple passes daily on every roster, it's taxing. And, you know, every year, it's not a secret. There are leagues I pay more attention to than other leagues, right? I kind of have to prioritize a little bit. And I'm doing that this year, but even that's tough, man. It's just, you know, it's been quite a grind. I mean, we both have done this for a long time. There's just the time involved in doing the work itself is tough. When you throw that in, you're just going, oh my gosh, what have I done to myself this year? So, next year might be the year I dial back a little bit. And by dial back, I mean 20, I guess. I don't know. Yeah.
And I say the same every year. And then someone says, hey, I got this league. It's an expert league. And I'm like, okay, sure, I'll do it. Yeah, I'm not going to turn you down. Yeah, Derek Van Riper has a charity league. Okay, I'm in. Fine.
Right. And that's what happens. And part of this is, you know, just doing the drafts is, you know, a big part of the job. Because, I mean, we're taking questions every day about, would you draft this guy or that guy? Well, the more times I draft, the more likely I am to have been in that situation and I'm able to talk about it. Also, during the season, as I make all these lineup decisions each week, it's helpful to sit there and, you know, say, oh, yeah, I've had to make that decision multiple times. And also, I need to, you know, I like to win, right? We all like to win. Also, my job is not winning. My job is helping other people win. And, you know, after 28 years in this business, you know, you kind of come to grips with the fact that, hey, sometimes it's going to cost me. Like, you know, just on Sundays alone, we're doing a pregame show. I'm on the air as we're doing the inactives, right? Right up until kickoff. Well, I'm also writing updates about those while I'm on the air. So the notion that I can run out and change those lineups and make, you know, smart decisions at the same time, you know, let alone make just the necessary changes is a reach. So,
right.
You deal with it and you do the best you can. Look, I want to be competitive. I hate losing. I don't want people to, you know, I don't want anyone getting a free pass against me. But I'm not going to lie. It happens sometimes.
Yeah. And I don't, you know, and the thing is, I add leagues because of format sometimes. I want more super flex leagues.
Okay. Right. Exactly.
Yeah. I haven't played a guillotine league yet. That's going to be a corrective player. I'm going to play that next
year. I've done one the last 2 years. I just got guillotined the other week for that very reason. Like it's, you know, yeah, Paul Charchian runs one. It's on its own site. And part of this is, you know, I'm organized by sites, you know, all my leagues.
Same.
Well, that's kind of on an outlier site. And I'm, oh, no, I forgot to do my lineup in that one. And there you go. So,
yeah. And I want to do a vampire league. I've never done that.
I do, too. Yeah, I've not done one of those. That looks like fun as well. There's a ton of stuff going on out there. And like, so best ball has been kind of a savior for all of us. Right. Do the amount of drafting, like weekly drafting throughout the entire offseason. So at any point in time, you have a pretty good feel for what ADP is, for where people are going, what kind of, you know, what people are thinking. And I think it's been really helpful. Also really helpful that I don't have to set any lineups, which is great. So, I'm going to keep doing a ton of best balls. I mean, there's no reason not to, but dialing back on the actual leagues that I have to manage would be probably a wise course of action.
Yeah. The best balls have replaced mock drafts. I mean, let's face it.
Exactly. There's something skin in the game.
People are going to try. You actually have some skin in the game when you do it. It's not wasted effort.
No, I totally agree. And it's what a great thing. And you win a little money at the end of the year, but you're better still.
Yeah, exactly right. So you've been doing this. You're one of the few people in the industry that's doing it longer than me. I've been doing it 23 years. You've been doing it 28. How did you get started doing this?
I was in a league. I got in my first league like in 1986, and it took about 2 weeks to realize we don't have enough information to do this right. And so I kind of started thinking about that. And I think it was, you know, that was 86 when I started playing. So over the course of time, I kind of made a little newsletter for the league and tried to inform the guys in the league. And I think in 1993, I just said, man, I'm going to make this a thing. I put an ad in USA Today. And that's what I've been doing ever since. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's been a fun ride. Seen a lot of, you know, changes and a lot of evolution of the game itself, how it's played, how the information is metered out, and how we're able to take advantage of it. And, you know, you and I both remember a time when there was such a thing as a sleeper. Those days are long gone, right? I mean, it's just, you know, everybody, there are no secrets from everybody anymore. So it's been super fun. And, you know, I mean, look, when work is play, anyone who complains about that is an idiot.
That's right. Absolutely right. Twitter has changed our job a lot.
Yes.
All the news is out there lightning fast. If you're not on Twitter, you're behind usually. And, you know, certainly on updating the site, you know, because it goes on Twitter before it goes on the actual site in many instances.
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, you know, that's the thing. The beat writers are all out there. And I mean, I'm sure you and I do the same thing. We curate lists of people we follow so we can, you know, quickly and, you know, as quickly as possible, get the information that's most important on any given day, week, et cetera. And we're able to disseminate it way more quickly than we ever have in the past. But it kind of is a situation where you're putting a fire hose down your mouth and chug a lug, man. It's it's a lot of information in the way, you know, we've gone from a time where, you know, you used to get, you know, I would get like maybe in the middle of the day, you would get an update from practice. And then maybe later in the day, you would get quotes from everybody involved and maybe a little more detail like, oh, yeah, he was able to run in a straight line or, you know, that kind of thing. And the player would talk about it. And the coach would talk about it. And you could kind of put it all together. Well, now you're getting, we get all our news in a sentence at a time, right? So you get an update up and within 5 minutes, you're getting either conflicting or contrary or, you know, complimentary a lot of times, just additional information. So it comes out a sentence at a time. And, you know, I mean, it's good to get all the information. It'd be also good if we all would take a step back and say, okay, what, you know, I think that's something that we've lost in the race, right? We're so caught up in running the race sometimes that we forget to analyze it because the race is just constant, right? It never stops. So, you know, I try to run the race in the day and then dial back and, you know, look at all the pieces that have come in throughout the day and put them together and try and set up some kind of meaningful context for what's going on within, you know, whether it's the injury itself, the team's history of dealing with injuries and, you know, the pieces around them that might play bigger roles. It's changed the way we do things a lot.
It sure has. The other thing that's really changed is just our media obligations, you know, and this is, you know, obviously for us, it's for the better. We've developed skills. I had no radio, TV, film background. I was a poli sci major. I went to law school. I was, you know, I had the ability to argue. Great.
Yep.
But I had no training especially as a host. I mean, it's a whole different situation when you're sitting in the host chair as opposed to being the analyst chair.
Totally. Yeah. That's something I've added recently. Look, I started doing this. I was just a guy who started doing this. Right.
Right.
And I spent a lot of time over the last 28 years trying not to look like just a guy who decided to do this. And, you know, sometimes that's the best you could hope for. And you do get thrust into situations where, you know, I think it all goes back to a single thing, right? In whatever you're doing, the ability to communicate your ideas fairly coherently, whether it's written or verbally, is something that will take you a long ways, no matter what you're doing. Practice that skill and it will serve you well.
That's absolutely right. He is Bob Harris. You can check him out at Football Diehards. You can listen to him on SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio with Michael Fabiano on Fantasy Dirt, with Mike Dempsey on Football Diehard Show. You've been doing a show with Jeff Manns a lot.
Pregame show. Every Sunday we do the pregame show, 11 to 1 Eastern time. And it's a great time doing that, too.
And I heard you when you were on Jeff's personal podcast, too.
Yep.
Talking about your history, doing the late night times there a lot, too. And just develop those skills. Spend more time. Just keep grinding at it there. And you build that audience, and they'll follow.
Yeah, man. So I think one of the things about building the audience is realizing everybody in the audience could be doing your job. And if they couldn't, they're pretty sure they could. And honestly, I don't know that they're wrong. Again, I'm just a guy who decided I was going to do this. And I think we're all, you know, if you treat your audience more as, you know, I mean, we're preaching to a choir. They're us. We're them. And it's not like I set myself apart. And, you know, I mean, I've never been comfortable with the word expert. You know, I'd like to say professional. It's because this is how I make my living. But really, my job is not telling anyone what to do. I mean, my job is giving them the information they need to be the best informed owner in their league whenever they're making a decision, you know, offering my opinions. But a lot of that is doing the things we talked about today, you know, kind of offering the range of possible outcomes and discussing why we think one end or the other of those that range might be the more likely. And so, you know, we're just kind of making a case, you know, for what we think. But, you know, telling people what to do in this business is not how you do this business. I know it's how some people do this business, but I think it's really helpful to realize the audience is out there. And I learned this early on, you know, especially in the magazine end of the business, is, you know, there are a lot of people out there who know a hell of a lot about this. And, and you know, they appreciate what you do, but you're not the end all be all end all for them. You're just a part of the picture. And it's good to keep that in mind when you're doing it.
That's great advice. And I think that's a good way to finish. Bob, Fantastic stuff. It was a super enjoyable conversation. Really appreciate you taking the time to join us
today. I appreciate you asking me, man.
You bet. Bob Harris, Football Diehards. Check him out on SiriusXM. Check out his website. Coming up tomorrow, we got John McKechnie and Mario Puig. Thanks again for listening to the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast. Have a great day.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.